Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It's Dom Giordano, and this is Reading, Writing, and Reason, our weekly foray into all these what a week it's been, educational matters, all kinds of lawsuits going on, all kinds of things that affect us and affect the future. One of the biggest is it wasn't only in Philadelphia. Well, you know what? Let me start with something else here, really, that has my attention before I get to that. And that is a good idea. How rare is that to be talking about something that's good? Representative Dan Crenshaw debuted a children's book, Warning Against Cancel Culture. A kid's book. I'm talking youngish kids. I don't think about three-year-olds, but we're talking about six, seven, eight, nine-year-old kids. The themes in the book get at the heart of the cultural wars. That's Representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas, who had that back and forth with Pete Davidson of Saturday Night Live. And I loved how Crenshaw handled it when he was mocked, even though he's a guy who's lost his eye and his other eye is shaky as a result of his war wound. And he wears an eye patch. Crenshaw told Fox News, "You got to teach all audiences. Parents are increasingly frustrated by their school's curriculum. They can go and find left-wing, progressive, and woke children's books out there. It's pretty hard to find conservative theme children's products." That's where Brave Books came in. And the book is entitled, might be a good gift, Fame, Blame, and the Raft of Shame. It's the fourth in a series of titles by conservative authors from Brave Books. And what this book does is, it's nuanced about so-called cancel culture. And in here, it tells a story for kids that takes the approach that Crenshaw did with Pete Davidson, and that we should not be canceling culture. Cancel culture should not be dominant. The book says, or Crenshaw says, cancel culture often jumps to that conclusion. The person is intentionally bad, intentionally meant that microaggression, and it's not true. The end portions of the book are replete with activities and exercises for parents and kids to examine the lessons of the book, which are reinforced with Bible verses. Might be something that you might consider and take a look at. Now, let me open up here on Reading, Writing, Reason with Dom and Dan. Governor, he's running for governor. Mayor de Blasio in New York is doing a Philadelphia. He is going after the gifted and talented programs there, saying it's way out of line. But guess what? In New York, it's a lot clearer. He actually, at one point, some of the people trying to take away the gifted and talented programs, which are 2,500 seats for 65,000 students in kindergarten, for example, said that schools were being segregated. What? No one's doing that. And there, it's more apparent of something I talked about here in Philadelphia. When Philadelphia went away from their Masterman and Central High School programs to give us a lottery system of sorts, at least that's what they're proposing, Asian students are in the forefront there. I think they are here. In Philadelphia, Asian students make up 10% of the students in the public schools. But at Central, they make up 39%. Whites, 30. Masterman, 43% are white, 27% are Asian. So I interviewed a guy this week on the Jim Bohannon Show, a national show heard across the country, from the Asian American Education Coalition. And we talked about this fact, and it was stunning in New York. In some of the schools that have had a ton of Nobel Prize winners, which is a rarity, it's 60, 70% Asian students. Why? Well, there are various cultural reasons. Second, the mother's involvement. Third, the relentless study. And the argument is, well, that's too many Asians. That's too many at one point in a school. What? I mean, it's bad enough if we start the color wars over someone white versus someone black or Latino and all that stuff. But Asians are a minority too. But they're the inconvenient minority to those on the left because they're making it by and large. They're succeeding. And how are they doing it? They're doing it by delayed gratification, relentless hard work. That's what works. We know what works. So if you don't want to do that, maybe you don't want to be in the gifted and talented programs. Maybe you don't want to put that much into it. That's fine. What we should be doing is encouraging in every school to let kids know that are talented, intelligent, their parents, that they can make it too, whether they're Latino, they're African-American, they're white, it doesn't matter. The problem is the gifted and talented schools are pretty good, like Masterman are very good. A lot of the other schools are not. So instead of fixing that, the progressives now are going to knock down merit in order to get their way, and their way is so-called equity, meaning equal outcomes. It's not about that, as you know. It's about equal equality, equal treatment. So watch for this. There'll be more of it here. It hasn't gone through yet in Philadelphia and in New York. There's a huge fight around that. And that is exactly the case, the way that it should be. It's, it shouldn't shock me to see where progressives go here in Philadelphia. But we had on David O, big interview with him, city councilman. He didn't know anything about it. Even though he sits on the council's education committee, he's going to hold more hearings. You'll see the debate on that. It will be ongoing. Sometimes these programs are called magnet schools. Sometimes they're called gifted and talented. Now, an update that's positive. I don't have the exact figure, but I believe it has reached double figures. It might be 14 or 15 even. Any number of school board, statewide school boards have come out against the National School Board Association. Remember a few weeks back, they whined that critical race theory doesn't exist. They're tired of people saying nasty things to them. And they sent it to President Biden, who then handed it off to the moderate, in quotes, Merrick Garland, who's the attorney general, right? And that guy then pounced and said he's turning the FBI, the Patriot Act, and everything else on whom? Well, on the moms and dads, particularly the moms that are showing up at these school boards. The FBI, Patriot Act, Secret Service, what? Given all that's going on? Well, now 14 school boards, 14 state school boards have spoken out, gone after them on this. They're not happy. They're not on board. And they're saying, hey, this is a group that shouldn't speak for us in this manner. We don't agree with this. We're not going to go along this path. That's good news. And Pennsylvania is one of them that has spoken out and pushed back against this whole thing. There will be more. They'll see more people going on record that are engaging in this because it's a ridiculous concept. And again, we are headed into the big election season and schools are playing a huge part. I hope you're aware that in just a few weeks, we'll have the elections here and the school board elections are the big item. If here in Pennsylvania, Clarice Schillinger, who has been masterful at a grassroots coalition, if she's able to defeat and win with the candidate she has, let's say 75, 80% of her candidates, you are going to see a revolution. Bucks County is a centerpiece of this. And the other side says, yeah, well, these people are QAnon that are running for school board. They're not. They're people that have had it with these petty little tyrants on these school boards. They're determined to get on there, to get rid of critical race theory, to establish meetings where there's input, to engage with the public, to push back against some of the excesses of the teachers' unions. Remember, too, that there is a movement afoot already after the November election, which is just a couple weeks away, to close down schools again in cold and flu season. Now, if the right people are on school boards, that's not going to happen. You're not going to see that. What you are going to see is more of a concerted effort to keep schools open. So just another reason to show up and be part of this movement to vote in those school board elections. We'll have more on that as we get closer to it. But it is, who would have thought it, that school board elections are the biggest thing out there. One of the reasons why I like to joke about her, it's a woman we play in the afternoon saying good afternoon. This Allison Beam, I call her the Beamer. She's the acting Secretary of Health, Public Health in Pennsylvania. She took over for Rachel Levine. She's in hot water again because she put out a directive at the end of her directive about kids and quarantining, saying that if contact tracing says that you were close to someone and you're a kid and you're not being quarantined, then if you don't cooperate with her directive, the Secretary of Health may petition a court to have you confined to an appropriate place chosen by the Department of Health to make certain you don't infect the public. Taking a kid away from the parents and putting them in God knows what, that's what she's saying in this letter. You talk about harsh, these mandatory quarantines as a power here threatening kids, and the letters went directly to the kid. They saw it first, even before the parents. So these are the stakes, and we're going to bring you inside this so you know exactly what's going on during these upcoming elections. We'd like to bring the other side on, but many times they will not cooperate with us. You know how that goes. But each week, let people know where this podcast is. It's on the air on Saturday afternoons. But in addition to that, if you want to tell someone about it, it's up on the station's website, 1210WPHT.com. They'll find it. Share it. Let people know. Let them engage with this. And please, get them out there to vote. It's just a school board election. There's also a state Supreme Court seat. We know how important that is. The guy's name is Bromson. He's the Republican. I think he's decent. He would take over for another Republican. The Democrat is another progressive who would add to their majority. And you know what happened in the last election cycle. You know how pivotal they are. So the bottom line is, this show, this podcast, Reading, Writing, and Reason. Let people know about it. We bring you national issues, but across the Delaware Valley and across Pennsylvania, that's where we're focused. And nothing is going to be bigger than the school board elections coming up in just a short period of time. By the way, if you haven't done it yet, follow me on Twitter also at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. I'll have updates there. And I hope you know the new time of the radio show. It's been for several weeks. I'm on noon to 3 now. Great spot to be with you Monday through Friday, noon until 3 with Dom and Dan. Coming up, we're going to bring you State Representative Andrew Lewis. He was on the show this week. He's the architect of a bill, 1322, that would say that there has to be transparency online in schools, that parents have to be shown what the curriculum is, what are the books that are being read. In other words, what the heck is their kid being taught? He's next here on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey everyone, welcome back into Readin', Writin', and Reason with Dom Giordano, Dan at the controls. Boy, do we have some guests this week in the education frame of big stuff that's going on. Andrew Lewis is with us. He actually called me dude. He's a state representative in Pennsylvania. And he joined us because he's the architect of a bill that has moved through the Assembly. They're going to get it through the Senate. Will Governor Wolfman Hack veto it? And the bill's a simple thing. It's transparency. No Democrat voted for it, by the way. And what it would do is it would allow parents to see online easily what their kids are actually learning, the curriculum, a syllabus with the books, what the goals are. America's a racist country. Is that the goal? Why don't Democrats want that to be out there? Well, the union head, the PSEA and others, they said, we don't want it out there because it's too much work to put all this together. Hey, guess what? Every school district that I know of has to have a written breakdown of what's being taught in a class. They could flesh it out a little bit more, maybe, and then put it up online. You're going to hear Lewis tell us how much money they have for IT in Pennsylvania schools. They just don't want to do this. And this is the thing that gets the most contention, I think, at school board meetings. By that I mean people are screaming, do you do this or not in schools? We can't find it. They don't answer it. They make public comment. And the battle continues. Put it up online. Put the books there. They're afraid because they know people will start researching the books. They know about Kendi, K-E-N-D-I. They know about Robin DiAngelo. These are toxic. They're divisive. So without further ado, here's State Representative Andrew Lewis laying out the case for this bill and telling us why he thinks ultimately Democrats are going to have to sign off on it. Hey, Representative, welcome to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon. Good, sir. How are you doing? And thanks for having me on the show.
What is the goal of this? What's the mission?
Yeah, the mission is exactly what you said. It's transparency, specifically with respect to curriculum. So right now, believe it or not, there is no standardized, user-friendly way for parents to access the curriculum their kids will be taught in school ahead of the school year or even during the school year. So I have parents, I've heard from parents across the state who are being told you have to file a right-to-know request to get this information. I have parents who they have to actually physically drive to the school district office to request and get this information, and it's wrong. And so I wanted to make sure that parents could access the curriculum ahead of the school year and anytime the curriculum is updated, and they could access that online. It's 2021. We're in the 21st century. There's no reason parents shouldn't be able to get this information. The goal is to make sure parents can be engaged in what their kids are learning, can understand what their kids are learning, and can have access to that information at any given time. I think they have a right to this information.
Yep. Yeah. Representative, before I get to the other side, I wanted to ask, what's the definition of seeing the curriculum, though? Exactly what would they have to provide in detail?
Sure. So we specified in the bill, we actually amended the bill And we specified it. So it would include instructional materials. It would include a link to every textbook. So right now, a lot of districts will actually post a general overview. They might post a syllabus or something like that. But I really wanted to get to the source material. I really wanted parents to be able to see the textbooks that their kids are learning from. I literally had a couple come to my office, and they were so offended by a specific homework assignment their eight-year-old had. And they said, we had no idea. And they had no idea until it was too late. And so I was like, look, let's make sure parents have a heads up ahead of time, and they can find this information online. So to answer your questions, academic standards, instructional materials, assessment techniques, and course syllabus for each instructional course, and then it includes a link or a title of every textbook.
Now, in addition to convenience, what is it specifically? Give me an area. Is it critical race theory? Is it something like that that people want to see in advance? Or is it things that are of a sexual nature? There's been stuff of that nature around the country. Rather than just broadly, what is it you're seeing from parents and others that they're concerned that they want to ferret out before their kid is exposed to this?
Sure. Good question. So there's a range. It can range for anything from something that may conflict with a parent's religious beliefs. It can be certain, you know, the critical race theory is certainly always part of this conversation because there are some very toxic ideologies, anti-American ideologies taught through critical race theory. It could be, you know, a lot of the even economic policy that's being taught to our kids of, hey, stuff should be free. And there's certain socialistic ideologies being taught to grade school kids. Now, the goal of my bill was not to target any specific type of topic or curricula, but rather to say, look, whether you're on the left or the right, whatever it is, as a parent, you should be able to access that curricula. You should know what's going to be taught to your kids.
Exactly right. Now, the PSEA, I'll summarize what they said, and we knew they'd probably take this tack. They're saying, Representative Lewis, Dom Giordano, how dare the two of you? We're on the front lines fighting COVID. It has been harrowing the last year and this year. Do you know how grueling it would be, how many man or woman hours slash other pronouns that would go into this, Representative, to present something that I'm a former teacher, and I thought this is something every school would have to present. They're saying it's staggering, and you're just waiting to pounce on them if they don't produce everything you want.
Yeah, this is just an unfounded claim, and here's why. Let me explain. So already, teachers have to get their curriculum and lesson plans approved. So there's already a process to get them approved. We made sure this bill was amended so that the responsibility would fall on the school administrator or their designee. So basically, the IT department is going to make sure this information gets on the website. This is not going to be an additional burden on teachers. They already have to seek approval for curricula. And by the way, IT departments of schools get mega, mega funding. Pittsburgh School District, as an example, over $10 million in IT funding. Philadelphia School District, over $4.5 million just in non-educational information systems, let alone the rest of the IT budget. These are funded departments. It is not a huge deal to simply let parents know and do it with a modern tool called the internet. So this just was an unfounded claim. I get it. The PSEA is going to wring their hands over a lot of different things that make sense for parents and students. But at the end of the day, this is good policy, and it's pro-parent and it's pro-student.
So far, then, where does it stand? Is it out of committee yet?
Not only is it out of committee in the House, we passed it on the House floor. We got it passed last week. So it's out of the House now. It's in the Senate. I've engaged with the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, Senator Martin. He's going to sit down with me, and I'm going to work hard to get this thing out of committee in the Senate, cross the finish line, and hopefully get this thing into law.
Well, it is common sense, but then we have the dithering governor. So let me ask, how many Democrats have voted for it in the House, if any?
So unfortunately, I was not able to get any Democratic votes for this. I thought we had common ground, especially after we amended it to make sure that the school administrator would be the person responsible to implement this and not the teachers. But I could not get a single Democrat on board, and I tried. But we still have a second shot here in the Senate. But there's a couple ways the bill can become a law. Two specifically: number one, the governor can sign it. Number two, he can let it lapse into law by simply taking no action. I think he'd be hard pressed to veto this. It's a simple transparency bill. I mean, how do you look parents in the eye and say, "Hey, I vetoed a bill that would give you online access to see what your kids are learning"? Like, that's insane. So my hope is it gets into law.
When does this come up? And this won't be before the school board election or whatever. Is it coming to a head that rapidly?
No. So this would be, I think we'll get it through the Senate this fall. And then it honestly doesn't even go into effect till the next school year. So you would have, which this burden argument is so unfounded, because they have an entire school year to prep to put everything online.
Thank you very much. To be continued.
Thank you, Dom. Thanks for having me on.
All right. As I said, Lewis makes a compelling case. The compelling case is simply this bill would stop some of the acrimony that we see out there, without a doubt, at school board. It's not going to cut down on everything, but it's sunshine. It's transparent. It's not hard to do. You go online. You see your kid is in kindergarten, first grade, whatever. Now, can they cook the books? Can they put that up online, then do something else? Yeah, but they're going to get caught, ultimately. They don't want to do it because, as Terry McAuliffe said, they're the ones teaching kids, not the parents. This battle is going to continue. Coming up, a colleague of Andrew Lewis, State Senator Scott Martin, who's been on the show before, he joins us on Reading, Writing, and Reason to give his reasons around the same bill and transparency in schools and why he thinks or doesn't think that in the Senate they're going to make a difference and get this passed. All that straight ahead here with Dom and Dan on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Thanks for joining us. By the way, with Reading, Writing, and Reason, if you like what you're hearing, you want other people to hear it, it's archived all the time, every episode, right there at the station website, 1210WPHT.com. And every Saturday, it's here. And usually, it drops by Friday. The episode is set and ready to go. Coming up, State Senator Scott Martin, I think he's out there in Lancaster, has been a great guest before, a very passionate guy. And he's determined to say, hey, why don't we let parents see what their kids are being taught in school online? We're into 2021. We're spending a gazillion dollars on IT. What is so difficult about doing that? It ought to happen without a doubt. Here's what State Senator Scott Martin told me is behind this and why this bill must be passed on transparency. Hey, Senator, thank you for joining us again, as always.
It's great to be back with you.
Well, I saw your name immediately, and I thought you would get involved in this because education matters, or things with schools and kids. I know that you usually are there. And this Secretary of Health, isn't credentialed like the previous one, but she gets it that she is someone who, she's a proxy along with Governor Wolf, even after we stopped him on May 18th, for still intervening and threatening people. What do you make of the language that she put into this directive around quarantine?
Well, and quite frankly, it's amazing that it's being done without even declaring an emergency. And,
right.
It's really upsetting to think that
I don't even think, for me, this is a new low for them to send these letters directly to children, not even to their parents, which I still think is bad, but in essence, threatening to remove kids from their homes and to send them to a place that the department deems appropriate is just beyond ridiculous. But yet they act like, oh, well, it's just a form letter. You know, we just send these to others. They're so numb to the fact in their over abuse of these powers that they can't even see how wrong it is to threaten children that way.
Exactly. That's a major point. The other thing is, I think any rational person, we want to have faith in contact tracing. But when you start going to this level and all that, we want people to be engaged with this as a public health measure. But you want to win confidence. You can't have a misstep when it comes to contact tracing. And if you get too draconian with stuff like this, and particularly, to your point, directly to children, scaring them if they read this and their parents going nuts, then you're undercutting the very thing that we all would hope to do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we obviously hear from a lot of the educational settings and families from across the state. And, you know, other things we hear is where bureaucrats have made comments to the effect, well, the parents just need to understand they're not in control anymore. That is the worst way to get buy-in from any individual,
right.
Let alone to threaten their children or that they would lose control of their children that way. This governor, his proxy, whether it was Levine prior or, as you refer to her, Beamer now, who I will mind you also, Dom, is not only not qualified, but she's also not even confirmed yet.
Yes, and this acting has gone on for quite a while, and yet the one thing she gets, I followed her pretty closely, you know, it's one of my hobbies, Senator, to follow these. But she gets the way you make your mark on the progressive side is to throw your weight around, to be a petty, bureaucratic little tyrant. That's how you get noticed. Rather than treading lightly and doing a great constituent service job, she engages in a lot of this stuff. She did it with our guy in Bucks County, David Damsker. She went after him. He's a doctor. And people were listening to him about treading lightly on all these things to get buy-in from people. She couldn't take that.
Well, and meanwhile, we had a hearing not too long ago. If they would be more focused on collaborating with our local school entities and working hand in hand, and they don't know what they're doing. They're getting conflicting guidance. They don't get timely responses to anything that they ask from a school level. But this has been where this has all gone wrong from the beginning. When you basically are going to have this top-down, one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't collaborate and doesn't respect how diverse this Commonwealth is or where case counts may be higher versus lower, that's where they have never understood the cooperation needed to respond to any type of emergency. And I have zero confidence that that's going to change before the end of the Wolf administration.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're talking with State Senator Scott Martin from Lancaster County. The other thing I wanted to go back to that you mentioned, we've seen this with Terry McAuliffe, and I saw him on national TV yesterday. The thing you mentioned about, well, the parents are not in control. We all know about electing school boards. We all know about curriculum and experts and all that. I do see in the legislature there's a school transparency bill. And, of course, yep. The teachers union has gone wild against that. And all this bill would do, look, you know, the collaboration can happen with the other side to tighten it up if they think it goes a little bit too far. But parents want to know what's in the curriculum, the books, who's going to do what the mission statement and goal. They don't seem to want to put this online and put it down on paper, and they're saying it's too much work. I taught in schools. It's not. But seeing it out there in bold print versus this is what enrages, gets the parents at these school board meetings. They just want answers, and they're told just make your statement and move on. Why do they have to be detectives to know exactly what's going on in the curriculum?
Well, in a lot of ways, and we dealt with this with transparency also with Governor Wolf, and now obviously with the school boards and a lot of the teachers' unions, is I think they forget sometimes who they work for and who funds it.
Right.
And that we live in a representative constitutional republic, and that this isn't some sort of dictatorship and things are done in shadows, what their kids are learning, and they're not going to tell them what to do. we're in a new era where families are really paying attention because they're seeing what can happen if you do not. And listen, as a society, I think you would agree with this. Up till the pandemic and up to the talks about what's being taught in the classroom, how many people truly went to a school board meeting?
Look, I think it's the greatest thing. I'm on the side that thinks it's the greatest thing, even with some excesses, where I would tell the person, you made your point and you have to sit down or you're going to be escorted out. Even with that, this has been exciting. People are involved. Yeah. You ought to welcome that.
Yeah, and we're seeing very competitive races, even in Lancaster County and across the Commonwealth, where I think folks are understanding even how it's set up, where the state sets minimum standards and the school boards create these curriculum. And when you add on top of it, we've had a lot of teachers who have come out even publicly who have raised alarm as to what some of their own colleagues are telling kids, or that colleagues who are making kids register to vote with a certain party, saying that's the only thing they need to do to save the world. Like, these things are all coming to light. Families are now paying attention and being more active. And quite frankly, in a perfect world, if a family doesn't like how their school is not only being operated or that what their kids are being taught, they should have the ability to go and get their kid an education where it is. And I don't think a lot of the public institution hierarchy, I just really believe that Pennsylvanians are done with the lack of transparency, and they really want to know what's going on in their schools, and they're not going to put up with it anymore. And I think you're going to see a more proactive involvement in these local school board races going forward, because ultimately, just like it's the citizen state government or the citizen's county government, it's that community's school board. It's their school district, and they have every right to say what's going on there and to hold people accountable.
Exactly. Senator, thank you very, very much. Thanks for coming on at a moment's notice. We always appreciate hearing from you.
Great to be back, Dom. Look forward to next time.
Okay, as I said, State Senator Scott Martin is a very engaging guy. He's right on top of this. Again, it exposes something you don't hear from the Inquirer, the mainstream media, that we put into every episode of Reading, Writing, and Reason. There are solutions out there. Rather than continuously having this problem where parents can't figure out what their kids are doing and they suspect critical race theory or something else, put it up online. Why not do that? What are you hiding? All right, we round out Reading, Writing, and Reason today with State Senator Holly Scapizzi over in Jersey. I think it was Bergen County area. She was our contact point because there were rumblings this week, more than rumblings, evidence of prizes being awarded to teachers who would get information about vaccine status from parents and students, then put it into an app that's frequently used by progressives like AOC. Prizes to get teachers to do that. All that straight ahead here with Dom and Dan on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Reading, Writing, and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Reading, Writing, Reason with Dom Giordano and Dan at the controls. Holly Scapizzi is a state senator in New Jersey, involved in something that we've been talking about that's just remarkable as far as teachers and gift cards and AOC and divulging vaccination address, the vaccination status of parents and kids. So how did this come to your attention?
So we received several reach outs from teachers over the summer saying that they were appalled. They had just been on this training session about, you know, how to talk to students about getting vaccinated. So they were curious, and it was sponsored by the National Educators Association and the American Federation of Teachers. And essentially it was to train classroom teachers to have conversations about COVID-19 vaccines with students and parents. So they went on and they wanted to see what it was about. And as the session went on, they found out that not only were they supposed to talk to students, but to use their position of trust and influence to try to convince them to get vaccinated. But what they found to be the most appalling is then they were told to track their conversations and add their contacts to this Reach application. And so they started looking into the Reach application and found out that it was a progressive tracking app developed for and by the congressional campaign of Representative AOC. And it is specifically only utilized for purposes of progressive Democratic campaigns. And they were so stunned, and the teachers were being offered gift cards for those who could track and upload the most information about their conversations with minor students and their parents.
Wow. I don't know how many things to unravel. First of all, and I wanted to say this too, I am, and you said you strongly support vaccinations. It's not about that. And
that's
also
correct.
If these teachers want to, I guess, in their role, and even there, you know, it's got to be carefully done, I think, in a one-on-one maybe that's private or, you know, confidential, pushing them or influencing them, however you want to say it, toward considering vaccination. But when you engage in this type of stuff, so what have you learned so far then after this has been revealed? What's behind it? What are they trying to do?
Nobody's quite sure, and you know, I have requested that the New Jersey Department of Education investigate the scope of the data collection, including whether or not it's been employed previously, and to identify impacted families and let them know exactly what information was shared without their knowledge or consent. Parents were never given the opportunity to consent to the data sharing or even to opt out of having their private conversations and health information logged for use by a left-wing organization that, by its own admission, works solely to advance one political party's agenda and only the most extreme portion of that agenda.
So well put. Yeah, they would input the names, addresses, and vaccination status of these children and parents right there. So here's the other thing. Thank God these teachers came forward. Do you know yet if other teachers engaged in this because of the gift cards, et cetera?
Well, we did receive, so one of the teachers sent to me a follow-up email that she had received after participating in this, where they had like leaderboards and names of teachers who had inputted the most information.
Oh my God.
It's not just in New Jersey. Apparently, this is a national push, and it's focused, and which I find to be even more unconscionable, it's being focused on communities of color, urban areas, and places where, you know, there is some apprehension because of historical things with vaccinations. And if parents catch wind of this, you know, it really creates a further schism between, like, a trusted, you know, person in the community being a teacher and the children and the parents. And right now we're finding that, you know, because of changes in curriculum, because of COVID, because of a whole host of things, there's already been a splintering of that trust. And this just, you know, it compounds that.
Isn't it amazing? I'm a former teacher, too, and I taught in Jersey, but it's amazing that people would actually follow this and input names, addresses, and vaccination status to anybody, no matter how they feel about it or no matter what's going on, for no other reason, not just for the privacy of the people involved, but for themselves, that this isn't going to come back on them. Right there, Senator, something's out of line, and they see it up there with leaderboards and all. It tells me that they just think, with the NJEA and also with their own politics, and I guess their virtue signaling, who could object to any of this? It strikes me that this could be illegal to start with.
Yeah, and in fairness, I did reach out to the NJEA when this first came to my attention, and they indicated that they weren't even aware of it,
okay,
and that it was the National Education Association that was pushing this. And so the teachers who reached out told us they're afraid of, one, violating the trust of parents. You know, they understand their responsibility, that they have to be discreet with private lives, which, you know, they often hear our kids discuss an embarrassing detail in their classrooms. And, you know, that they didn't feel comfortable and they felt that they were being put in a terribly compromising position, and that it wasn't even, divulged to them that this app was a political canvassing tool. So, some of them did their own independent research, and that's when they realized that the very tool they were being told to track conversations and add their contacts to is purely a political database.
And as you mentioned, too, on top of it, you think another red flag, we have people of color here in various communities that seemingly might be targeted here in some way, shape, or form. You think when you see all that, that you got to pull away from this. I don't know how good the gift cards were, but my goodness.
Yeah. Look, at best, it's a shady data collection practice. At worst, it violates existing campaign and ethics laws. And you couple that with, during the pandemic, while nobody was paying attention, in New Jersey, the legislature, and I voted against this, changed at one of our very last voting sessions before we broke. If you were a parent historically in New Jersey, your child could not be given some sort of invasive questionnaire unless you opted in and said you were okay with it. So you couple this with last voting session, they changed that law so that now parents have to affirmatively opt out, and a school can put any sort of data gathering about children on any topic, and all they have to do is embed it in like an email that may have 72 other items in it saying, oh, by the way, tomorrow we're going to ask your kids about sexual practices. And nobody knows where this data is going to, how confidential it is, and it really starts to create a concern about what are they learning about our children and where is this going and for what purpose.
Well, and as you mentioned too, given how frayed things are because of the battles, masking and in-person education and some of the big unions, we've had Randy Weingarten on, for example, the last thing you want to do is to start to bring up stuff like this on a national level. It just shows that you have no sense of where we are right now, how tenuous this is.
And even parents who are extraordinarily pro-vaccination and, pro a lot of what's taken place, they've been reaching out to me going, whoa, this goes way too far. This is, breaching any sort of confidentiality. This is, we don't know, what's being logged about our lives and, our children and everything else. And I think that, most reasonable human beings are looking at this going, this just smells really wrong.
Exactly right. Well, Senator, thank you very, very much. We have a mutual friend, Matt Rooney, of course. And
Matt's great.
Yep, I'm so glad that you came on today. Please keep us in the loop and let's see what the response is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, as I said about Holly Scapizzi, very articulate. She laid it out point by point. What went on here in Jersey that we know of through the NEA and the AFT is way out of bounds. It may be unethical, not just something inappropriate. She's on it. We'll give you details on it. Imagine being an influencer as a teacher, being put up to win prizes of all sorts, and a bunch of teachers doing this by conning unsuspecting people into giving up their vaccination status, their reasons for being vaxxed or not vaxxed, and then plugging all that in, as many parents and kids with name and address and everything else, into this app. It just takes the breath away. I know that's hard to say today when you see what progressives are doing, particularly in New Jersey and in schools. We'll follow up with her. We'll have more of that. Hey, everyone, thanks for listening today. As always, every Friday it drops, and Saturday we bring it on the air. And you can always find it at 1210WPHT.com. We love doing this. Reading, writing, and reason. Spread the word. It's the way to get people informed. And you can't believe some of this stuff each and every week with Dom and Dan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.